Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ami Organics Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Haitong Securities India. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amey Chalke, Pharma Analyst at Haitong Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Chalke.
Thank you. Welcome all to Ami Organics 4Q FY22 earnings call hosted by Haitong Securities. From Ami Organics management side, we have Mr. Naresh Patel, Chairman and Managing, Mr. Abhishek Patel, CFO, Mr. Bhavin Shah, Deputy CFO. For introductory comments and presentation, I will hand over the call to Mr. Abhishek. Over to you, Mr. Abhishek.
First, I'll start with the cautionary statement. Thank you, Amey. Good evening, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to our earnings call for Q4 and FY22. Please note that copy of our disclosure is available on the investor section of our website as well as stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook towards future or which could be construed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. With that, I would like to hand over our floor to our CMD, Mr. Naresh Patel, for his opening statement.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good evening, everyone. I am Naresh Patel, Chairman and Managing Director of Ami Organics Limited. Welcome you all to our Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. Financial year 2022 has been a year of milestone for us. To start with, we became a public company this year with our IPO. On the financial side, we crossed the milestone of rupees 500 crore sales along with rupees 100 crore EBITDA mark. On the technology front, we continue to evolve and become one of the first few companies to commercialize not one but two products using continuous flow technology. We also developed an electrolyte which is used in the manufacturing of cells that are using energy storage devices. Our overall financial year 2022 has been an eventful year. Let me discuss each of these events in detail along with other business updates, and then I will hand over the floor to Abhishek to discuss the financials. Our core business of advanced intermediates continues to grow at the industry-leading rate of 32%. Our current capacity level at the Sachin unit, where we manufacture the majority of the pharma intermediate, is 65%, and we believe we have enough capacity to satisfy the demand for the next 12 months. I continue to see strong demand in coming years for the pharma intermediate business. To satisfy the incremental demand, we have decided to set up another plant at Ankleshwar, which is estimated to have a CapEx of rupees 190 crore. As informed during the last conference call, we have already transferred all the production from Ankleshwar unit to the Jhagadia unit without any revenue loss. Currently, we have demolished the Ankleshwar unit and work has started, already started to set up a new plant for pharma intermediates. On the raw material front, as you know, all of our export contracts are long-term contracts with built-in clauses of escalations to account for movement in KSM price as well as currency. This has helped us to successfully pass on the incremental cost to our customers. Whereas domestic business happens on a spot basis, therefore most of the incremental cost is easily passed to the domestic customers. I would like to bring your attention to the price rise in commodity chemicals which can't be stopped for a longer time due to safety concerns. This has put pressure on our margins during Q4. Please note that we are able to pass on these costs to the customer, albeit with quarter lag. Ami Organics is known for continuously updating and upgrading itself to remain sustainable in the profitable way. On the result of this initiative, during FY22, we have been able to transfer a couple of our existing products from traditional process to the continuous flow processes. We are one of the few companies in India who has commercialized not the one but two products using continuous flow reactor. In FY23, we are targeting to transfer three more existing products to flow reactors. This proves our technical capability not in only synthetic organic chemistry, but also in process technology. I am proud to inform you that AMI Organics have successfully developed capability in plug flow reactors, catalytic feedback flow reactors, as well as tubular flow kind of reactors. These are all different kinds of continuous flow reactors. Last but not least, I am proud to announce that AMI Organics has forayed into electrolyte for cells used in energy storage devices. We are the first Indian and global company outside China to successfully develop these electrolytes. Our sample products are currently with customers across the world, and in the best case scenario, we expect the commercialization of this product by end of this financial year. This is a very big product for a company of our size. As per the available market research reports on the product, the current market size of the product is around $1 billion, and it is expected to double in the upcoming 3-4 years. Overall, I am optimistic that global supply chain issues and elevated input prices will get rationalized during FY23. And we will witness healthy growth across the business vertical of Omni Organics. We will continue to grow at historical rate of around 25% in the coming year. Please note, we have not included expected revenue from the new product in this growth estimate. Now, I request our CFO, Mr. Abhishek Patel, to discuss the financials. Over to you, Abhishek. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naresh Bhai. Good evening, everyone. So I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance highlights with the quarter and full year ended March 2022. And then we will open the floor for question and answer. I will start with the quarterly updates. Revenue for the quarter was 143.5 crore, up 54.5% as compared to 93 crore in Q4 FY21. The gross margin for the quarter was 44.2%. For most part of the quarter, input price continued to rise due to global uncertainties, supply chain issues, and container shortage, which can put some pressure on our margin in Q4. As Naresh Bhai mentioned, in his opening remarks, we have strong focus on technology upgradation and process improvement. One of the such initiatives is that we have now two products commercialized using continuous flow technology. I believe this will help us bring back our margins to sustainable level as we commercialize more products using continuous flow going forward. Over the quarter, we will also improve the margin as RM cost rationalizes. EBITDA for the quarter was 25.8 crore, up 11% on YOY basis. PAT for the quarter was 21.3 crore, up 38.2% on YOY basis. Coming to full year numbers, our revenue grew by impressive 52.7% to 520 crore as compared to 341 crore in FY21. As you all know, raw material prices have been elevated throughout the year, and we were able to hold our gross margin with a better cost optimization process and process improvement, which with the only exception in Q4. Therefore, on year-on-year basis, we are able to maintain our gross margin, which came at 47.5%, slightly above the gross margin for the last financial year. We have now completed the integration of two facilities acquired from Gujarat Organics Limited, and our team has shown operational fineness by improving EBITDA margin from these facilities from merely 5% to 11% in the last four quarters. Our EBITDA margin during the year remained suppressed due to an integration process which came at 20.2%. I believe we will witness EBITDA margin improvement from UL facilities as well and core business in FY23. Absolute EBITDA for the year first time crossed 100 crore mark. Our EBITDA for the year was 105.2 crore, up 31.2% on YOY basis. PAT for the FY22 was 72 crore, up 33.2% as compared to the same period last year. PAT margin for the full year came at 13.8%. Now coming to the balance sheet, we have brought down the debt from 136.6 crore as of 31st March 2021 to only 0.84 crore as of 31st March 2022. Cash and cash equivalents stood at the end of March were 19 crore Also, please note that high inventory for the year is because of stocking up of raw material to secure supply at a better pricing. So the majority portion of the inventory increase is because of the higher raw material inventory only. Before I conclude my remark, I would also like to highlight that FY21 number does not include revenue from two facilities acquired recently, as it was slump sale transaction. As Naresh Bhai mentioned, we remain optimistic and believe that we will continue to grow at historical growth rate of 25%. Any revenue from new product which is electrolyte for cells will be an additional over and above these estimates. I will now conclude my remarks and ask the moderator to open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the Nav Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Portfolio Management Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is, you know, going a little deeper on, you know, the pass-throughs and the gross margin. I mean, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the margin fall has been quite sharp. If you can give some color with respect to what is the kind of price increase that we have seen in the raw material as a portfolio, and whether we have completely been able to pass through the cost. And also, I mean, you know, there seems to be, because of this Russia and China issue, you know, other costs also, you know, higher for most of the other players. So does our contracts also allow pass-through for, you know, outside the raw material as well?
So as we mentioned, Naresh Bhai mentioned during his opening remarks, that our export contracts have pass-through mechanism through KSM and exchange rate fluctuation. So we have been able to pass through those cost escalation in the KSM as well as the exchange rate fluctuations. But some of the materials like commodity material, including toluene or caustic or solvents, those are the low-value products which have seen a good amount of price hike during last few months. And because those are large quantity material, we cannot store them because of the safety issue and the regulatory issue. So those cost does impact our total input cost. And this is the reason we see some of the pressure on margin during this financial year.
I mean, what was the cost increase in some basket size? You can give some color.
So on overall basis, gross margin, it largely remained intact in FY22. In fact, it was marginally improved by 0.36% at a gross level in total year of FY22.
No, I'm talking about, you know, the cost inflation in the fourth quarter specifically. I mean, for our basket, how much?
Fourth quarter, it was around 5%.
That is the gross margin fall, but I'm talking about cost escalation in terms of raw material. How much was the raw material jump within the fourth quarter?
That is what exactly the cross raw material price escalation. That is around 5% compared to Q4 FY21 in Q4 FY22.
Sure, sir. And sir, the other question from my side is to understand, you know, on the growth. I mean, you know, excluding the acquisition, our growth has been quite, you know, good at 35-36%. If you can give some color with respect to whether this growth is, you know, how much of it is driven by volumes and how much of it is driven by value.
So large portion of our growth is coming in from in form of volume only. It is more than 23% is the volume growth and the rest is the value growth.
Sure. Sir, one final question from my side before I join. I mean, if I'm looking at majority of the year, I mean, our utilization is about 65%. And as you have alluded that we are going to see a 25% plus growth next year, which implies that our utilization goes up, plus the, you know, margins also kind of expand. I mean, if I look at the margins also normalizes, two things. One is, you know, gross margins normalizing. As you said, that more or less the cost has been kind of passed on. Second is on operating leverage. As you move from, say, 65% to 80%, what is the kind of, you know, margin expansion on a year-on-year basis that one should look at, sir?
So at present, as you mentioned, from 65% to we can go to, let's say, utilization of more than 80%. So at a gross level, we are expecting margin, our estimate is to reach up to 50% on a gross level. And on the operational leverage side, we have room of around 1.25% to further improvement at an operational level.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Shah from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for achieving the 500 crore benchmark. So my question is with respect to the new product which we have developed. So you said the market size is close to $1 billion and it is expected to double in a couple of years. So, sir, I just want to understand that there are only 7 to 8 players in this product and all are from China. And if assuming the market size will be, say, $1.5 to $2 billion, and even if we get a 5% market share, so we'll be looking at a top line which is larger than our entire company as of today. So is my understanding correct? Can this product be so big for us?
Yeah, Mr. Hardik bhai, you've done a good research. Let me tell you, thank you very much, first of all. And yes, this product has a more potential, and the possibility of the growing this segment is very high, because nowadays energy saving and energy storage, regeneration of energy is one of the key growth area for electronic industries. And potential growth of this industry is every year around 50 to 70% growth, looking by the research analyst and all. Particularly for our product, the market research report what we have with some professional is showing that the every 2 years the volume will be demand will be double on, and if we expect to cater, what you say, 5 to 7%. That definitely it will be a large volume product for us. And that is the reason why we had prepared ourselves initially from our existing capacity as well as for the future. We will be having, we are planning for CapEx for that as well.
So, sir, this CapEx which you mentioned right now will be only specific, will be only specific to this particular product. Is that right?
No, no, no. The current CapEx is only for the backup of our, that is for the incremental growth of our pharma intermediates. We have recently acquired a land, a separate land for this electrolyte molecule, and that is going to be in future, if the demand is, incremental demand is arise, then we will be ready for ourselves with the all regulatory approvals and all for that product.
Understood. And so based on our capacities as on today, sir, what kind of revenue can we generate from this product?
So, Adik bhai, this is a really, it's a very monopoly product, and we don't want to be leak more information on this. That's the reason why we develop in, we have never mentioned about this product in our last 1 or 2 years about that, because we are very confidentially moving in this product and we want to keep in check of several information. So once it will be matured, we will let you know at the time comes for the, about that as well. But overall market size, we already disclose in our statement.
Understood, sir. Understood. Sir, my second question is with respect to Gujarat Organic. Sir, can we expect that the margin of Gujarat Organics will be in line with our core business maybe in couple of quarters from now?
You see that, Hardik bhai, every quarter we are improving our margin by 2 to 3% basis, and it is continuously improvement going on. So we in 3 quarters we bring it from 5% to 11%, and it's a continuous operation. So in next 3-4 quarters we will bring it to the normalized of, as we commented on several commentary, that it will be 2 or 3% less than the R Pharma margin.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much, sir. That is all from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Congratulations on good results. Sir, my first question is on CapEx that we are doing at Ankleshwar of 190 crores. So what kind of revenue can we generate from this facility, from this new CapEx?
See, this CapEx is for pharma intermediate business. And generally, we have the track record and the experience that generally we get around 3 times of the asset turnover, we get the revenue. So similar expectation we have from this CapEx also in next 3 years post is facility is commenced.
So we are guiding that the pharma intermediate will grow at 25%. So can we assume that with this CapEx over the next 5 years, we can grow at 25% CAGR without any additional CapEx, at least on the pharma intermediate side?
Yes, that is all we are planning so that it should cover our capacity requirement for next 5 years.
And you have also guided on this EBITDA margin that 1.5% improvement is possible in FY23. So this is from FY22 number, right? Like not the Q4 number that we have seen. So
yes.
Annual number you are guiding, right? From 20% to 21.5% roughly.
Right.
Okay. And just my last question is on this electrolyte that we are developing. So I just wanted to know that how different or similar is this product from what Sattva Chintan is making. So they also make this electrolyte salt which are used in supercapacitor batteries, which are used to store power. So how different is our product?
To be honest with you, we had not look in that because what we do is what our research and it is our own product that where we are working on that. We have an update that this molecule is none of the company in India and also in globally outside China is producing this for the time being. So that is the only a comment I can give you.
Are we backward integrated for this product?
Yes, we are in process of backward integrating that product as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Padma Raju from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So,
Padma Raju, sorry to interrupt you. Can I request you to speak louder, please?
Yeah, am I audible?
Slightly better.
Yeah, just wanted to get more clarity on this RM front where you classified it under both KSM as well as commodity part. So just wanted to understand out of the total RM portion, how much portion is this commodity chemicals that whatever you mentioned, be it toluene, caustic solvents?
Normally, it's a very, very good question and I'm appreciate that you have bring this in the notice. See, basically in chemical synthesis, all the chemical reactions with key starting material, they are in a very few kgs it is used, but it is made in a media. So that media either in a solvent or in a water or some other media. So this media is a toluene or any other solvent. So these are using in a 10 or 20 times fold than the main key raw material. So that the incremental cost in this media will be 2 rupees will be also impacting in a 10 times of the product cost. So this is how this commodity is largely impacting on a larger scale with a larger volume. Similarly, caustic and acids and all are also using for neutralizations and isolations and all. So these are also very basic raw material, but when it is in the quantum usage, also it is used in a treatment in effluent and also is used in a scrubbing systems and all. So these are where it's a multiple uses in the factory of chemical manufacturing. So there only 2, 5, 10% incremental also is a sizable increment on the final cost of the raw material. And The main portion of the KSM will be contributing somewhere around 60-70% of the total raw material cost, whereas these kind of commodities are contributing around 30-40%, depends on the process to process. It is not fixed in some process, it may, KSM may only contribute 80%, whereas these are only 20%, but it's all process to process vary.
Okay. So the KSM part where you mentioned we are able to pass it on, for the commodity one to pass it on, you know, do you think, you know, there should be some sort of a stabilization of prices, or, you know, we are, have already initiated some price hikes there and, you know, should be reflected from next quarter onwards?
See, that is also very good question. I can say that I already briefed in my initial statement that in a export, we every quarter lagging, we are transferring these incremental cost of commodity as well to the customers. So that's how we are securing ourselves. But every quarter, whatever the incremental cost of commodity, that has impacting on the margin. Whereas domestic, it is a spot basis. So every time when we get an inquiry, we will already transfer, include the contribution of this commodity price. And that is how we can easily transfer in the domestic.
Sir, and how I mean, after Q1, I mean, currently in this particular quarter, how these have been? I mean, have they been largely stabilized or they are still moving up?
It's still moving up, and it's a difference of the Q4 and Q1 will be the making the impact on the cost. Whereas the Q4 incremental is already transferred to the customer for Q1.
Okay. And secondly, just wanted to check on this GOL facility. I believe, you know, we were making some close to 14% margins in Q3. So has there been any impact in Q4 from this facility? And also if you can, you know, give some full number on what is the kind of revenue that we have made in this particular year from GOL.
So from GOL, I mentioned because of the commodity raw material prices, we have again slightly higher input cost in facility, despite of the fact that our operational costs have bring down in Q4 also. Operationally again we have improved in Q4, but because of those commodity raw material, it looks somewhat on a higher side. And the total revenue side, it is around 86 crore for full year from this newly acquired business.
And what is the exit utilization rate that we are working there?
Around 40%.
Okay. And lastly, just wanted to get some clarity on the tax part in this particular quarter. I mean, there has been lower tax offtake, but what should be the one tax rate that we should be working on going ahead?
The tax rate would be 25% only, 22% plus surcharges. What has happened in this quarter is because we had IPO expenses in this financial year, and we have benefits available to on a working capital fundraise for deduction and capex in Section 35D, and we were in process to get the advice from our advisors to avail those benefits during last quarter. So once we were confident that we can avail, then we took that impact in Q4. So by that time in Q3, we had done a provision based on the normal processes. So that was the reason we had a lower tax rate in Q4, particularly in FY22. Going forward, it will be normal tax rate of 22% plus surcharge, effectively 25%.
That's helpful. Thank you. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravtej Singh from Malabar Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Congratulations on a great bunch of numbers and congratulations for this foray into industrial life as well. I just want to understand this product a bit better. So I know that we already have expertise in carboxyl lick processing. So I'm guessing the solvents we should be able to make ourselves, because that's basically the carbonate ester and carboxylic ester solvent. Would we be making the salt as well, or salt and additive as well? Or would we be buying that elsewhere? What all would we be making in the electrolyte?
Your voice was breaking, but you mean to say that we are making carbonate or we are making solvents like you say like this?
Am I audible? Is this? Am I audible? Hello.
Sir, is it possible if you to speak through the handset because your voice is coming a little muffled?
Wait a second. Hello. Is it better?
Yes, slightly better.
Yeah.
Yes. So what I was saying is that as far as the electrolyte solvent goes, I'm assuming that we already have the capability for that, given that we are good with carboxylic reactions and carboxylic ester solvents. So apart from the solvent, would we also be working on the salt and anything along that, salt and additive, or what all would we be making in the electrolyte?
No, we are not working in a salt like lithium salts and all, because it's an inorganic chemistry and we don't do any organic chemistry. And it is multiple storage devices for that. And this electrolyte is a specific electrolyte which is used one of the kind of ingredient for making the complete electrolyte.
I see, I see. And the usage for the end usage for this electrolyte would also be electric vehicles and solar and other, wherever, you know, lithium ion battery is used. Or would it be a separate usage?
No, no. It's all storage devices is being everywhere, including your mobile.
Oh, I see. I see. So, literally all batteries, that's a much larger market. Got it. And this, I mean, just want to rehash the numbers again. Sorry if this is getting repeated. But just to rehash another question that came up, if the industry is, say, $1.5 to $2 billion in size in, say, the next 3-4 years, that's a good 15,000 crores. On that, I mean, just a 6% market share is close to 1,000 crores. You think that's the revenue that you're gunning for or you're targeting?
See, the market size you just told, that is fine. That is in line with our research report that we got from the market. But the revenue expectation, definitely it is subject to so many, it is the outcome of so many functions, because as we mentioned, we have provided the sample to the customer from our pilot plant. So once, let's wait for one to get approved, and then we can comment on the expected revenue side of this business.
Understood. And would the margins be better than what they are at present for the company?
So all we will disclose it when time comes. This is just an preliminary. We on Ami Organics is always in the conservative in the announcement, and whenever it is materialized only, we will give more reports on that. So when it will be, we got the first commercial order for the quantity, we will let you know. We will do the information available for everyone in the market.
Understood, sir. Sounds good. Thank you, sir, and congratulations again for this new foray.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarun Chetty from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to know a bit deeper about your pharma intermediate business. You seem to have decent, or in some cases, leading market share in some of the molecules. So just wanted to understand what sets you apart from your competitors, and can you replicate this into the new molecules that you'll enter into?
See, the reason for holding such a high market share in the pharma intermediate molecules, not one or two, but more than 10 of such top products, is that we have an advantage of early mover. We develop the product when the products are not even launched by the originator. We develop our product, we give those samples to the API manufacturer worldwide. They do their studies, stabilities, they prepare their APIs, they file their DMF, and they wait for it to be generic or their para for filing. Because of this early mover, we sit quite early into the customer's DMF, and whenever that gets going into the market, we will be their preferred supplier. And also being a regulatory document, it gets creates some of the entry barrier also for the customer. So this is the reason we hold a good amount of market share for our products. And going forward also, because we are quite cost-focused company, and we on a regular basis review our costs and pass those benefits to the customer whenever it looks like in the market. So even post after getting into the product early, we maintain our market share because of timely supply and cost-efficient production.
And in addition that, you know, pharma industry is an entry barrier industry where once you are in the system, it's a very costly affair for changing you from with the other competitors.
And to the second part of your question, can we replicate those success going forward? So just let me tell you that we have a long tail of products, more than 450 products, pharma APIs, commercialized to the customers. And those have patent expiry quite long beyond 2030, 35. So that gives the confidence that going forward also we have a pipeline of products which will fetch us a good amount of revenue and being early mover advantage.
Okay, understood. The second question is regarding the sales contribution from dalarolimab, nintedanib, apixaban and dolutegravir. Have they remained your top products or have you seen a change in your portfolio?
No, actually they are not top product as of now, but those combined revenue from this three product is around 10% of total, 11% of the total revenue.
Even including dolutegravir?
You said dolutegravir. No, dolutegravir is only 6%, 6.8% of total revenue.
Okay. So the next question I wanted to ask is the percentage contribution from export. Can you give it for your pharma and specialty chem segment?
That is 58% is from exports.
Pharma category, special.
Pharma and. Hello.
One second. How much?
So for specialty chemical, it is around 60% of total revenue coming from exports. But the precise number, I need to get it precise numbers. But on the total blended basis, it is 58% is the exports.
Okay. Just the last question I wanted to ask regarding the electrotype, the new product. Are you waiting only for customer approvals or is there any regulatory process also?
No, we are simultaneously processing both the things. So regulatory is already in almost in a final stage, whereas for the customer approval is the main thing where we are waiting for them because it's a long procedure for approval, and now we are in verge of getting the final results from them.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions. I'll get back to you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gagan Tareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Gagan, can I request you to speak a little louder?
Yeah. Is this better? Am I audible?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my question, sir. So, first question is on this CAPEX of 190 crore. How much will be debt funded out of this?
We are planning to raise 50 crore of debt over 2 years to out of this total 190 crore of CAPEX.
Okay. And sir, you indicated that, the new in your press release that the new capacity will be coming in effective only from the fourth quarter of FY24. You are currently at 65% utilization for your intermediates. If you grow by 25% this year, you will be at probably, peak utilization by end of FY23. So how will you address the growth requirements for FY24? Because your capacity would have peaked by end of FY23.
We are releasing our capacity with putting flow reactors so that we can transfer some capacity of large product from batch to the flow continuous reactor. So these are how we are maintaining our mediatory demand of the capacity.
So how much capacity will, you know, be released by shifting 5 products to continuous flow?
With these 2 products, we had already released 3% of our utilizations, 3 to 5% utilizations currently. And with 5 products, it may go up to 6 to 7% or maybe 10%, depends on the demand of the product.
Right. So I mean, my question is, even if you manage to release, you know, 7 to 10% of your capacity from movement to continuous flow reactors, you would still be, you know, short of capacity for FY24 unless, of course, you are talking of a lower growth in FY23, in FY24 than what you are guiding for in FY23?
That will be compensated with that because we have a fungible kind of facility in Jhagadia as well. So if needed, we can utilize Jhagadia facility for our supporting our pharma as well because Jhagadia is already running at 40% currently, so we have a huge capacity free over there as well.
Okay. And can you give the current capacity of pharma intermediates in kiloliters per day? And also, you know, I think your press note mentioned addition of 400, more than 400, I don't remember the exact figure, but what is the current base on which this is being added?
See, 436 KL is added, and currently we have a Surat, we have 156 KL per day capacity.
You have 156.
Is a total capacity, but the production capacity is 6,000 metric ton annually.
No, I get that, sir. I am simply trying to understand in you know, the same metrics. The current capacity is 156, and it will be taken up to 436. Or will 436 will be added to 150?
Added to incremental. Is an incremental.
Okay, so 156 will go up to almost 600.
Yes.
Okay. All right. You also indicated that you can get a 3x, you know, fixed asset turn. So if you go at that rate, you know, you could add 570, and obviously your current base is closer to 400, which will grow by, you know, another 100 next year. So, you know, 500, and then I mean, should we assume that FY24 could also grow in similar sort of range as FY23, or, you know, you're talking of a different number there?
We have a visibility of 25% CAGR for the time being. So okay. That is continuously on that.
And this capacity comes on stream early either 4Q of FY24 or early FY25. And you are talking of, you know, being able to meet your requirements up to FY28 from this. So you are essentially saying that in 3 years you will be able to optimally utilize this capacity. Is it a correct understanding?
Yes. So it will suffice our requirement for total 5 years.
Okay, sir. Okay. I understand that. And also, if you could, you know, you when you report your numbers in your presentation, you split into intermediates, specialty chem, which is the Gujarat Organics piece, and then there is a third line item. Can you explain what the third line item is, and also can you give the you know, EBITDA numbers for intermediates, specialty chem, and the third line?
See, the third line other revenue includes some of the scrap sales, some of the raw material sales which incurred during the year. So those are the, again, part of our operational revenue, but not coming out of the major major product businesses which are in. And on the margin split side for the intermediate and business, So for a full year, EBITDA for the specialty business is 11.19%, and for pharma business, it is 22.1%.
Got it. So 11.19%
Thank you. Again, I'll request you to come back in the.
Sorry.
Sorry, sir. Again, I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So most of the questions have been answered. I just wanted to understand how does our R&D spending goes, and if you can help understand what was our R&D spending in the current year?
It is 7 crore in this financial year, FY22. And going forward also, we are expecting around 1.25%-1.5% of total revenue as an expenditure in R&D.
Okay. And just one question. I don't know whether I understand it right or not. When we acquired this unit, the turnover was 106 crores. In the current year, if I understood correctly, we have done some 85-odd crores turnover. Is that 86 crores? So there's a drop in the revenue. So how should one look at that?
See, for the first 3 months of this financial year, where mostly the part of integration was going on, so we almost lost the production during this Q1 of FY22. We were hopeful that we can make out for the Q1 of FY22, but that didn't happen at the end of the year. So going forward, again, we are hopeful that since production is streamlined already, so we'll be able to achieve the next year FY22 targets.
Okay. Okay. And just again, harping on the capacity utilization. So if I understand correctly, from the existing all the capacities that we have, we are very much capable enough of doing about 750 crores-800 crores kind of top line. Is that understanding correct?
So that is difficult to say because our capacity utilization depends upon the product mix and the volume of those new products. But as Nareshbhai mentioned, that we can definitely cater to a requirement of 25% growth rate in pharma for FY24. If something looks difficult to achieve, we can get it done from Unit 3 also.
Okay. 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 And just on this raw material front, if you could help understand how much we are dependent on China for our raw materials and the overall scheme of things, putting together both the specialty CRAMS business and the intermediate business put together?
For this financial year, our 36% of the total purchases were from import because earlier it was below, sorry, 32% is from import purchase. Earlier, it was around 27% before integration of Gujarat Organics business, but since that business has some higher amount of purchases from import, the percentage slightly moved up. But again, we are on it, and with the newer process and technologies, we are in process to further bring it down.
Okay. Okay. So presently, it is 32% if I understand it correctly, right?
Import from what?
In terms of total raw material purchase, basically. So if we have 100 rupees of raw material purchase, 32 is basically imported.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And just basically one last question on the CapEx. So we have announced a CapEx of 190-odd crores. So just wanting to understand, I mean, the customers for this are already lined up. They are existing customers, or they are new customers. How should one look at that particular aspect? And also just clubbing that question with our concentration of products. So till FY21, Trazodone, Dolutegravir, over a few important products. So I understand now that dolutegravir proportion in overall sales has kind of come down. So other important products which have inched up, how should one look at that as well, if you could help understand?
Historically, our product basket is always a mix of the product, and demand is annually, every product is changing. The reason for that if some product is on a top five in 2017, will not be the same in 2018, because the new product which are coming in the launching will take place of the position of the old product. And that is how our basket every year in a positioning of the top 10 product is changing.
So top five product contributes 39.36% of the total revenue, and top 10 contributes 53% of total revenue.
Okay, that's helpful. And as far as the CapEx goes, existing clients, new clients, how does that work out?
So it will, because as we mentioned, we have long tail of products which are getting commercialized in next few years, and we are expecting good amount of revenue from that business also. There is the existing business only, which is getting scaled up further with the new capacity. So it will be mix of exist as well as the new customer, wherein we get new customer for a new product.
Okay, thank you. And just one last question, if I may squeeze in, is on this new electrolyte product, right? So just asking at a helicopter view, I mean, if the market size is so interesting, right, any thoughts as to, I mean, what gives us a distinct advantage is what others probably have still not got, and what is the kind of amount that we have spent on building this product? If you could just help understand what differentiates us in this product. I'm not sharing much details, but from a common man understanding perspective.
See, basically, this is a very competitive market, and information leaking will make competition stronger. So we are very conservative in sharing the information for this product. And basically, it has a big potential, and we already addressed that about the total volume of the product and which are the geometrically, which is the country where the major production is happening. And technology point of view, we spent 1.5 years for developing this product, and we had successfully made it scale up to pilot. So now we are confident that we can easily scale up to the plant scale as well. And we want to remain introvert for this product, more information about that. But once we come in the product in a full way, we want to be a market leader in this product outside China.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thank you, Nareshbhai. Thank you very much for helping with the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Raichura from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I wanted to understand the dynamics of our business with respect to the China substitute products. So I presume that there will be some basic parameters in terms of volumes or the price stability or profitability which we can achieve before entering into the product. So your comments on the same would be helpful.
Thanks, Neha. As we had already given in the last call that we already successful two products. The another three product is now we are now in the process of scale up right now, because pilot is already successfully done. So now we are moving this product in this quarter for validations in the plant, and from next quarter we will start commercializing this product to the market. But this product are currently also still competitive against China, because the raw material is not dependent for the time being from China.
Okay. And so can you throw some light on the timeline and the process of these approvals?
To be honest with you, these products are not a part of our projections of this growth. And because we want to be compete against China, we are very cautiously moving our step towards the commercialization, because once we launch in the market, we don't want to pull back our product. So that's why we are very slowly moving in this product with all
precautionary steps to be considered before we launch the product in the market.
Okay. And also, how many of the China substitute products are commercialized as of today?
Two.
Okay. That was helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Padma Raju from SBI Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. So just one question. Like generally, seasonally, Q4 is the strongest quarter for us. So, I mean, if I see Q1Q, we have grown close to the tune of 2%. So just wanted to check whether we have lost any, I mean, any of the orders got deferred to Q1 from Q4?
Thank you. I was expecting this question and waiting and to have that question. Okay, great. In history of Ami Organics, we have a Q1 is lower than Q2, Q2 is lower than Q3, and Q3 is lower than Q4. And that is a history, and this is the first time. This is not because we don't have an order or not because we could not able to produce the product, but because this period is a very, very, very difficult period for all industry, and our, not only us, but our final user also have a problem of getting all the materials in time to their workshop. So what happened that all 10 ingredients of the 9 is they received, but one is not issued, they could not perform the production. So that is the reason why some of the our buyer has a lagging in their production schedule. That's why we could not able to materialize shipment of some raw material, some finished goods of that. That's the reason why it is a only 2% growth there.
So that eventually means, you know, some of this gets, you know, deferred to the subsequent quarters or so. Can we expect that?
It could be, but the current situation is also similar kind of that going on. Right now is also there is a very situation is day by day becoming worse and worse. We are expecting that this could be normalized in this quarter. If this it will be normalized in this quarter, we could able to get an advantage of defer of that raw material to addition of the our projection. Whereas our history will be repeat every year and it will be remain like this Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 incremental only.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Moria from AlphaGrid Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Naresh bhai, first of all, like, you know, just continuing with the last question, as you indicated that, you know, because of the China supply chain issue, few products were not able to deliver at your customer end, and because of that, you also got impacted. So, I mean, situation is still the same in China, right? And so how do you see, I mean, what is the feedback from your customer in terms of your deliveries? Because yours is an intermediate, right?
I will continue my answer in the same manner that this positioning, if you look in the FY22, Q3 has started impacting these kind of things and Q4 was the worst for everyone in the market. And that is the reason why all the industry, either in a pharma APIs or in the fine chemicals, or I'm not talking about the basic chemical producer in India because they got the biggest advantage of this. But apart from that, all KSM and starting material manufacturers have the impact on that.
Correct.
China continuously doing like that, but this is, see, once upon a time it will be normalized and we are expecting that it will be normalized very soon. If not, there is alternatives are already there. Companies like Ami who started working on the dependency wherever the raw materials are not coming, we continuously improving our dependency avoiding, and we also developed several raw material in-house and giving to the tall manufacturer for making ourselves. So today or tomorrow, if the situation will normalize, it will be beneficial for us as well as the other industry. If not, the company like us who continuously improving dependency avoidance, and that will be also helpful us to in upcoming months will be normalized for us.
So basically, sir, I agree that, you know, your dependency on China would not be much, but as far as your customers or client goes, they would be dependent, right? So I'm just saying that going into the Q1, already 1 month had gone by. So are you seeing the situation improving from this perspective?
No, but the current time, there is no improvement. As I told you already, this last 1 month was like everybody has a steel situation is remaining in the same manner. But sooner or later, it will be improved.
Okay. So in this light, still you are confident that your pharma, the revenue growth would be there even in the Q1?
See, normally I always claim that AMI Organics perspective was our annual growth is 25% CAGR. That is the where we are always claiming, and it is historically also you can see, and normally our Q1, Q2, Q3 is incremental always. So it is immaterial for us that whether our Q1 or Q2 has a lower or higher, but our overall average will be 25% CAGR, and it will be in last 10 years, it's a history like that.
Okay. And secondly, sir, in last quarter, if I remember, we were pretty confident about maintaining or even somewhat recovery in the margin. So basically from the last call in these 3 months, what has gone against you, in terms of the gross margin contraction?
Not against me, but against all industry about this basic chemical incremental cost. This is a very unexpectedly increment in terms of basic chemical, which is normally it's not that much huge, almost 2 times or 3 times cost of the chemicals, which is never seen in the history.
Okay. So given that now it is at a plateau and somewhat also moderating, should we see that, some solace coming into the Q1?
We will transferring in Q1 all this cost to the both the export as well as domestic. Whatever the lagging is there in Q1 will be impact on the margin. Otherwise, the Q4 incremental already transfer.
Okay. But in Q1, again, the cost has gone up. The prices have gone up. That is what you're saying.
But it's a differential margin impact on that.
Okay. Okay, so basically even Q1 also there would be some impact on the margin.
No, I cannot say like this for the time being because Q1 is going on right now.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Perfect.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My first set of questions are on the pharma intermediate business. If you can talk about what was the contribution of the top product and top three products this year?
So as I already mentioned, the top five products contributed 40% of total revenue.
I'm asking about top one and top three products, sir.
Top one and top three. One and three.
So top first product contributed 11% of total revenue, and top three produced 27% of total revenue.
Sure, sir. So just to understand this a bit little more. So last year, if I remember correctly, the top product contribution to the overall revenue was much higher, right? What overall revenue has grown, but has the top product also remained same or has it grown well for us?
The top product, one of the top product which was there last year is still our top product in this financial year also, but second, third position has changed a little bit. And plus the personal base has also gone wider in this financial year. So that is the impact overall percentage goes down.
Sir, we had talked about these four new products which will be the growth driver for us. And you have mentioned the contribution was around 10-11%. What do you think can be the contribution of these four products, say, next year and maybe in 2 years' time?
So, it can go beyond 20-25% in next three financial years. So maybe next year it can double from this existing contribution level.
Sure, sir. If you can talk about what was the contribution of say Model 1, Model 2, Model 3 and Model 4 to our overall revenue?
So at present, we have not precisely worked out that revenue segmentation for all those models. The general idea we have given earlier, so it is expected to remain in that line only. But precise figures are yet to be arrived.
Sure, sir. I'll maybe get it later from you. A final question on the pharma before I move on to the other segment. So which products do you think in FY22 and maybe FY23 will be the growth drivers for the company? If you can talk about the same, apart from the four products, any of the older products which are doing well and which you think will be the growth drivers, as well as if you can update on dolutegravir, the shoes basket there, do you think even FY23 will be soft only, or the issues are gone and you see demand coming back strongly?
See, dolutegravir is now once again reviving, and it will be slowly once again grow in its space, but it will be remain in the same quantum of the 2021. It will not go beyond that in financial year. Whereas the other growth will be coming from the new products, which are coming into the expiry in this year and next year, and that will be the launching quantity for us. So these are all nintedanib, rivaroxaban, apixaban, darolutamide. These are the products which will drive 23.
So the line for the participant dropped. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amay Chalke for closing comments.
Thank you, Neera. From Hitong team, I like to extend thanks to Mr. Neera Patel and AMI Organics management team for answering all the questions and also giving us opportunity to host this call. For closing comments, I will hand over the call to Mr. Neera Patel, sir. Thank you, sir.
It's a Naresh Patel. Okay. Thank you very much, Amayji, and thank you, Hitong team, for hosting our conference call. Thank you, everyone, for your patience, and we hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. If we have missed out on any of your questions, kindly reach out to our IR advisor, E&Y, and we will get back to you offline. Thank you very much. Good evening, and have a safe day for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of AMI Organics and Hitong Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.